This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's good to see glad people. You know, Winston Churchill once said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." The reason I said I'm preaching to the choir is that the people who need to hear this are not here. Isn't that always the case? But people are fearful these days. And I find, even though I know not to be fearful, when I think of things, think of what's happening in the world, and thinking of what might happen with this election coming up, it's scary. But yet I have the assurance, and you do too, Christ is on the throne. All is right with the world. We have a Redeemer. We have a Savior who watches over us daily, minute by minute, every single hour. I'm amazed when I travel locally. I get to an intersection and I turn right. I usually turn left, but I turn right. And I find out that the Holy Spirit has been guiding me all along. And when I relax, when I'm not running things in my mind, when I begin to listen, and he tells me daily, listen to me. I've told you before, I journal, and I always say at the end, is there more? And he says, yes, all day. Listen and follow me. And we need to be alert. I know Pastor used to say, be alert. The world needs more alerts. He used to pastor here. But God is talking to us always. He's an encouragement to us. He wants us to live a victorious life, and he doesn't want us stumbling over ourselves and stumbling over our own feet. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind." The New Living Testament says power, love, and self-discipline. We don't like to be disciplined. I don't like to be disciplined. I don't like to be corrected. But it's necessary, isn't it? It's necessary. We need to be self-disciplined. Therefore, we won't need other people to discipline us. How do we become self-disciplined? We rely on the Holy Spirit. We present things to him. What do I do? When I get up in the morning and I give my life over, my day runs smoothly. When I get up in the morning and I don't have time to do that because I have a 7:30 appointment somewhere, doesn't go well. Doesn't go well at all. I just need to spend that time. I need to be alone. And so when I have a 7:30 appointment, that means that I have to get up earlier. I can't sleep as long as I want to because I have an appointment. I have an appointment with the Holy Spirit. I have an appointment with God, and I need to respond to that because that's where I get my marching orders. I mean, years ago, I was in the military, and we had marching orders every day, and we had to listen to somebody else, but God has a plan for your life. I heard that the other day, and I said, I've been preaching that for 30 years. God has a plan for your life, and you need to know what that plan is, and you need to follow that, because he loves you more than you'll ever know. He has something for you. He has a place for you to be and a place to go. Our goal in life is to bring everything under control of the Holy Spirit. When you were born again, it was your spirit that was renewed, not your body, and not your mind, or not your soul. It was your spirit that was renewed. And so you're among a group of people with renewed spirits. Yes. And having a renewed spirit means that your spirit is now in contact and connected. It's like you were born and you grew up and you went to church, and then all of a sudden you put the plug in and the electricity came with the Holy Spirit. Okay, now I have the light. Now I know. I was a Christian for many years. I was raised in the church. The church was right across the alley from where I lived. My parents took me to a Methodist church, and I went there, and one summer I went to Vacation Bible School at that church right across. And I came back and I said, I don't want to go to that church that we're going to. I want to go to this one over here. I was five. And so my mother talked to a neighbor who went there, and she said, oh yeah, just have him come over. I think we had church first and then, no, we had Sunday school first and then church. Just have him come over at such time, wait in the vestibule and then come in. And so he began going to that church. Well, I was a Christian for many, many years before I found out about the Holy Spirit and what the change could make in my life. But once I found the Spirit, well, he found me, really. I don't think I was looking, but he was. We have a tendency to overthink things. We have a tendency to run things by our mind. We've been trained that way. That's the way they teach us in school. Think it through. I was way back when we were taught phonics. We didn't teach, we weren't taught sight reading. And so we had to sound out the word. Well, we have to think things through. You don't have to think things through. You just have to be responsive to the Spirit. You just have to ask God, what is it that I need to do? Should I do this or should I do that? And sometimes you don't even get the question. While you're formulating it, you know. Yeah, you know. This doesn't have anything to do with the message, but I found it when I was looking. It said, you shall arise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God, I am Lord. Well, it's part of the message. But I thought, well, I might as well throw that in. I'm sure some of you used to read the book or the comic Peanuts. And some of you even read Pogo. And one of the lines from Pogo was, we have met the enemy and he is us. I'm my greatest enemy. I'm my greatest enemy. And you know why it is? My mind. All you educated people out there, your mind gets you into trouble because the enemy comes along and very subtly plants something in your mind, and then you let it run. You know? I know people that turn the radio on first thing in the morning and it goes until they go to bed at night. And whether they're listening to it or not, it's going. And sometimes we start that with our thoughts, particularly fearful thoughts. And it just runs and runs and runs. And the more it runs, the more it builds up in there. And the more anxious we get. And we're no longer relying on God. We're fearful. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. We just have all kinds of problems. His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Just a little commercial. Joy is running for Congress, and you're in her district, so it might be a good choice to make. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, okay? what it seems to boil down to is, who am I in Christ? Not who I am as a person. That's kind of important as you're growing up and as you're getting established, like who am I? What am I this or am I that? Some of you may have older children who are still trying to find out who am I. I have a son. I had lunch with him the other day, and he kept talking to me about the pandemic. We're in a pandemic, and we need to live accordingly. As he sat without his mask across the table from me, he said, "Okay, right. Who are we in Christ?" Well, first of all, you've been chosen by Christ. You're adopted as his child. You've been justified in Christ. You're a child. You're a child of the Most High God. Just need to be. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And I don't know if any of you listen to Joseph Prince or watch Joseph Prince. He said, even if you're doing drugs, even if you're sinning, you need to confess that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, and you need to continue to confess that. You are the righteousness. That's overwhelming. It's overwhelming that God would place his righteousness on a human being, that I could be declared righteous. In filthy rags, I'm declared righteous. I'm in Christ. You see, we don't have a covenant with God, because the people who had a covenant with God broke that covenant. And so the new covenant is a covenant between Christ and God. And we are in Christ. So there, that puts us as part of the covenant. You know, that's no work. That's no work, because the job's already been done for us. It's already been paved. We know where we're supposed to go. So what happens? We don't follow it. Why don't we follow it? Because of the world we live in. And we have to live here. We are in the world, but not part of it. And the world affects us every single day. And we need to have the armor on. We need to know who we are before we go out, because people are going to tell you, no, that's not who you are. That's not true. Donna and I spent most of the summer up in Hadley, up in a camp. And there's an upper level and a lower level and then this other level, and that's where we are. And there are about 12 sites there. And there are two Christians there. And they're both here today. And beer party, this, that, the other. Just recently, there was a party on Friday night, and everyone was at the party. Everyone was invited to the party, except the two Christians. And it's like, we are there for a purpose. We're there. And it's difficult at times. Now, we do have a couple that most of the people come up on the weekends, and us old retired folks are there during the week. We leave on Friday night or Saturday so we can be home and get to church on Sunday. because it's an easier drive from there. We have a couple, they come over, we enjoy them, they enjoy us, but as soon as the world arrives, they go. The guy was raised Catholic, so he's 98% there. He just needs to make the profession and begin to live the life and what have you. But the world impinges upon us. It comes to steal. It comes to steal. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. Amen. Wow. Are you living the more abundant life? You should be. You should be living that. If you're not living it, I'll tell you why. It's because the world is dragging you down. Little kid fell out of bed. And his father said, how come you fell out of bed? He said, I must have stayed too close to where I got in. Well, you see, some of us are Christians. We stay a little bit too close to where we got in, and we need to get in all the way. And if the world is impinging upon you, maybe you're too close to the edge of the bed. Maybe you need to get farther in. Again, I'm preaching to the choir, but people need to be involved. Amen. People need to be involved. This church should be 300 people. Amen. The fire is here. We need to ask, God, what do I need to do? What do you want me to do? I can't leave it to the few. I got to get involved. Recently, what was that? When did we start going to? We started going to Believers Church over in Johnstown. Yes. Believers Fellowship over there. The church we were at was closing, and we sat down. We had three great options. This was number one on our list. Number two was Abundant Life. Where was number three? Another choice. One morning, my wife woke up and she came. She said, I know where we're supposed to go. I said, where? She said, over to Phil and Connie's church. It was a perfect fit. It was a perfect fit. Virgil was here at that time, and he went over there to preach, and I was over there. Sat down with him for a little while, and I said, we feel called. We feel like we should be here. And he said, I think it's a good choice. But we want to be involved. We don't want to be sitting around. We don't want to be, well, that was a good message. Where do we want to go eat? You know, we want to be involved. I got a text earlier in the week, shortly after Diane sent a text, and said, can you preach next Sunday over at the other Believers? You do know there are other Believers, right? You're going to get to heaven, you're going to be in that little room and say, what's that noise? Well, that's the other Believers. Yeah. They may even be Baptist over there, who knows? So, when I worry about it, I always remember Billy Graham is a Baptist, so. They're good people. You are bought with a price. It was a tremendous price. It was a tremendous price. I don't think about it as often as I should, but when we take communion, we think about the price that Christ paid for our healing, for for our salvation. It was a tremendous price. We tend to think, well, he was God. No, he was man. He was man. He went through it as a man. And he paid that price for our healing. We're healed. We're healed. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and every authority. I was reading through some notes the other day, and there was a sermon that Wayne had taught on power and authority and responsibility. And he centered on responsibility and authority. You have the authority in Christ Jesus. And not only that, but you have the responsibility to use that authority in your ministry. And you are all called to ministry. Maybe not standing up here. There are many times when I think this is one of the least of the gifts, be able to get up and talk. I think I recall my mother telling me to shut up. You talk too much. And the little girl next door, her mother yelled at her and said, Anna, will you please stop talking? And she said, God gave me a tongue to talk, and I'm going to talk. So I guess I'll have to adopt that. God gave me a tongue to talk. First message I gave, I was going to college out in Anderson, Indiana, Bible College, and I came back and the pastor said, would you give a message? And I said, oh, okay. I get up and it lasted 9 minutes. I had about 5 pages of notes and I just read them. Oh, sorry. Walk quietly, huh? But this is where I found a gift that God has given me. And I'm blessed by it, and he sends me out. See, I don't seek the approval of others. I like to be liked, but that doesn't make a difference. There's only one I have to account to. And you know what? That's true for you too. It doesn't matter what other people think. It's what your calling is. And we each have a gift. Some more than some gifts. Some have more. And we need to exercise that gift. And I would say if you don't know what your gift is, now's the time to begin to find out what God has placed in you. Some people are prayer warriors. That's a gift. They pray. Take on the needs of others. Take on the needs of countries. And they pray. Other people are blessed to give. God supplies them enough money that they can give and give generously for the work. Some people are given a gift of gab. I can walk into a grocery store, talk with the person in front of me, the one behind me, and talk to the cashier. My wife just shakes her head because I've never met somebody that I couldn't talk to. My wife is shy, aren't you? So, where does God want you to be? I'm here for two reasons. I'm here to encourage you. Amen. And I'm here to give you a good kick in the butt if you don't move. Amen. That's the purpose of my visit. Amen. And wherever I go, God says, tell them I love them more than I'll ever know. I have a plan for their life, and now is the time to get moving. Right. Well, as you begin to look at the world around you, now is the time to get going. Right. If there was ever a time, this is a time that you need to be outstanding. That's right. Be like the farmer. Be outstanding in your field. Right? Amen. What? Chuck who? No. Must have been a wrong number. I don't know. My wife didn't think I'd do that. You have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. The down payment has been made. The deed is yours. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Don't be afraid that you're not going to finish, because you are. You will finish, because God has willed it. I have no idea what the days will bring. I mean, this election looming is being very crucial, and will be very crucial for us as Christians. And what if? If the worst happens, you're still covered. God will take you through. You will not suffer what the world is going to suffer, because you're sealed in Christ. You've got it. You've got it. You have it all. It's all yours. It's just to claim it and to walk in it. And that's not easy. I recognize that. It's a struggle to do that every day and every day. You don't want to be unrealistic, but you don't want to get depressed either. You need to understand that Christ has done it all for you. And it's yours to take. And do not be afraid. Fear not. I don't know how many times that appears in the Bible. Quite often, fear not. I have some notes here that I'm not going to read through, because they're three pages. But I'm going to leave it here and you can copy it. But it starts out, my nature in Christ. I've been healed. I'm the salt of the earth. I'm the light of the world. I'm committed to make disciples. I'm a child of God. I have eternal life. 90 statements declaring who I am in Christ. We're new creatures. I mean, it's something to get excited about.
Amen. Glory. Woo! Hallelujah.
You'd have to keep social distance, but you could run around the church. And it's been done here. Often. And if you were sitting there and they were running, they'd grab your hand and away you'd go too.
That's right.
These are sobering times. But we have joy. We have peace. We have it in. We need to be a joyful people. Don't take life seriously. You won't get out of it alive. We will. We will. I don't have much more to say to you, except to encourage you to keep going on. Amen. It's one foot in front of the other, all right? And sometimes it's a step back and two forward. But your friend of mine in Kansas, when I'd say to him, how are you? And he'd say, neither rapidly rising nor falling, but steadily on the incline. Is that us? That's us. We're not sparkling, we're not flamboyant, but we're changing day by day because the one who is in us is changing us. You can't stay the same. If you stay the same, then you're going backwards. God has need of you. That's why you're here today instead of playing golf. Probably one of the last few days before snow, my granddaughter moved to Colorado from Texas. That snow in September in Colorado. God has given you everything you need. I have need of nothing. Oh, my wants are that high. Okay? And God supplies some of my wants.
That's right.
But he certainly supplies all my needs. I have need of nothing. We do have that can of beans in the cupboard, don't we? Okay, we have lunch, so we're all taken care of. You're taken care of. Look at this. Look at this church. Clean. Bright. Inviting. It's a place to bring friends. It's a place to bring enemies. It's a place to bring anyone. All who are welcome, just come. Come as you are. Just remember that you don't have to clean the fish. All you have to do is bring them, and Lord will do that job. And people don't have to be clean before they come. Well, you may get some smelly people in here. I'm almost finished, but God's not finished with you.
That's right.
In no way is he finished with you. Right. And this will rebuild.
Right.
This will.
Right.
I'll tell you it will. Amen. It will be like the former. They keep telling us nothing's going to be normal after this. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. So rejoice. Be blessed. Go out. No, wait. Why don't we have some praise and worship? Wouldn't that be good? That'd be good. Thank you very much.